unstoppable kick-ass confidence. Are you ready?
Welcome to the Raw and Unscripted Show with Christopher Roush, where we help you overcome your self-created crap without the self-help fluffy bullshit. Now please welcome our host, Christopher Roush.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning, fellow people of the No Excuses Raw and Unscripted tribe. It is I, Christopher Roush, your No Excuses coach and the host of the hit show, the Raw and Unscripted Show, with yours truly, Christopher Roush. And I'm surprising people tonight. For those of you guys who are listening on the audio podcast, you may not know this, but every single week at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I go live on the video cast. And normally I just do it to YouTube lately, but tonight I'm throwing everybody for a loop and I'm going 1 hour earlier, and I'm going to be talking about how life throws you curveballs. And life has thrown me some fucking curveballs recently. And in truth, we were actually supposed to have Serena Buffalino on the show tonight. And unfortunately, I experienced some massive technical difficulties with the broadcast trying to get it recorded. My computer failed on me, and then I clicked the absolute wrong button, which disabled my camera and my microphone from actually doing the broadcast. And unfortunately, she had to go and pick up donations and go feed the homeless in Hamilton, Ontario. So we send our love to Serena. I am so sorry. I apologize. I hope you might be watching. But yeah, the topic of tonight's conversation is how shit goes sideways. And instead of running from it and then going to our short-term gratifications, we run to it and we dig deeper. So I've got an exciting episode for you tonight that I really didn't plan, but I'm going to go into that in just a moment. And speaking of episodes, I highly encourage you to go back and check out last week's show. We have been having more guests, and last week we had the opportunity to speak with Devin Scott. And if you missed that particular episode, I highly encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's episode number 359, if you guys follow along wherever your podcasts are sold. 359, we had Devin Scott on there, and we had an amazing conversation. We went deep into metaphysical realms. We talked about default identity versus our chosen identity. We talked about how to handle forgiveness and pain and ridicule and shame and all sorts of things. We dove down the rabbit hole and were able to really uncover. And actually, he told me afterwards, and he told me on the show, that he did not expect this conversation. He thought it was going to be an interview, and I always tell people that it's a conversation. He did not expect to find some clarity in himself and his journey, because he openly admitted to having some dark moments recently. He's in the personal growth space, but he even said, you know, vulnerably, he says, you know, I've been in some pretty dark places lately. And he goes, but this conversation and the questions that you asked me have helped me see my life and my experiences a little bit differently. So where I won't feel so much like a victim, and I'll feel more like a victor. So it was a tremendous conversation. I appreciate Devin. He may be watching. He's a new fan of the show, might become a coaching client. Who knows? And speaking of coaching, I am doing something phenomenal that my coach doesn't even like. I am offering a group coaching program, and I've been doing this now for 2 years. We have people coming in and out of it. We've had people in there for the full 2 years, but I do it for a ridiculous price because I don't want you, the listener or the viewer, to have any excuses. Because so many people, when they try to work one-on-one with me, I am not inexpensive. Let's just say that. I charge what I'm worth because I will change your life. But also I get people saying, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. So I have offered this group coaching program now for 2 years. And I'm surprised because there's a lot of people out there that are still in the same situation that they have been in since I have known them. And yet they're not in it. And you know what? I don't have a lot of time for that anymore because I'm doing this. There's two levels to the program. You could do it for $49 a month, or you can do it for $149 a month. The $149 gets you an hour or 45 minutes to an hour with me every single month. And guess what? I charge $300 an hour for my coaching, and I get it. So I am offering this as a way to not have any excuses. I don't promote it that often. It's something I do out of the greatness of my heart, not making a whole hell of a lot of money as you could put it together. But I feel great about this because when people come to me and say, Chris, I want to work with you, or I've been going through this stuff, here's the opportunity. And there have been people that have been in and out of the program and come back to me and said, Chris, you know, that 4 months, that 6 months, or those 2 months really shifted my perspective about my belief of who I can truly be. Because so oftentimes we're living in the belief of who we were and who the things we did and the mistakes we made and the opinions of others. We're trying to deprove people. We're running away from our shame and our guilt. We're blaming other people for the situations that we're in. And what we do in that program, it started off as an accountability program. I really wasn't going to be teaching, but now I'm teaching and I'm offering a ton of stuff. And it's ridiculous. So if you're listening to this and within the sound of my voice and you're still spinning your wheels, it's now March. It's March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way. If you're still spinning your wheels, not gaining any traction, you need to invest in yourself. And I will tell you this, I would not be where I am today had I not invested in myself in multiple different ways. Had I not got uncomfortable and said, you know what? I need help. I need somebody to push back. And so I have mentors. I have my coach. And most recently, I've been using ChatGPT. And I will raise my hand. Walt McKinley will know this. Jock will know this. A few people will know this. I was not going to use it. I was like, I don't need it. I can think for myself, blah, 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 blah. All these different excuses. But then I started using it. I've been using it for now probably about a year and a half. I use it for all sorts of different aspects of my life. I use it to script the show sometimes and write promos because why not? If you can use the supreme intelligence, which is going to surpass human intelligence here pretty quickly, you can look at it augmented I can't remember what the fuck it is, but it's something, something intelligence. And you better fasten your fucking seatbelts because you white collar people out there with jobs. I just was reading something today that lawyers are going to be poof. Doctors are going to, people are using chat. They're using Grok. They're using whatever. They're using this stuff in their life. I use it for car repairs. I use it for my pet. I've done research. You know, you go to Google and you get all these websites and you spend 4 or 5 hours. I can literally go type a few sentences. I can give it a directive and it can spit me back the information. I can ask it to give me links. I can ask it to give it to me verification. You can ask anything. It's not going to go away. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to use it. But the difference between people who are going to be successful and people who aren't are the people that are using chat. I pay the $20 a month for the premium, whatever it is. I don't pay the 100 and whatever it is for the super, super premium, but it serves me. And so what I did tonight, because truth be told, like I said before, Serena Buffalino, the CEO of Help Heal Humanity, was supposed to be on the show, but it quickly went supremely downward. My computer had to reboot. I disconnected my microphone and my camera from Chrome, and I had to figure out how to reconnect it. I couldn't reconnect it. I had to reboot my computer. It was all these things, and I was super frustrated. And then also, meanwhile, I've got an electrician here because I had something blow up. I just recently got some information that I owe the federal government and the state government more money for this last year than I have ever owed in my entire life all put together. And that is a good problem, but it was pretty fucking shocking when my tax lady came back and said, you owe this. And I will just tell you, it's a lot of money. It's super uncomfortable, but it's a good situation to have, I guess. It frustrates me and it pisses me off. And generally when we have problems, we get mad and we get, why me? And why is this happening? And this is bullshit. And what could I have done differently? And we stomp our feet and we spend so much time being angry and resentful and trying to tell ourselves a different truth about the situation. But the realistic aspect of life and what I teach you guys and what I have to remind myself of is that shit happens. And hey, it's going to be okay. We're going to figure it out. In this show, in my coaching, I teach you how to be resourceful. There's an excellent book out there by Marie Forleo, and it's called Everything is Figure Outable. And the people who have listened to me and got that book and came back to me like, fuck, Chris, you're right. You're right. Everything is figure outable. And there are moments in time. There are moments in time. And there's so many other things that I could sit there and rattle off in the last couple of weeks that have happened. I had to get an iron infusion because my energy has been fucking zapped. My brain has been zapped. So many things that I can focus on. But instead, I sat there and I laid down and I said, I'm going to do my meditation because I have my tools that I use when I get frustrated, when I get down, when I get in my victim mindset, because we all do it. And I sat there and I thought, you know, what can I do with this show tonight? Number one, I'm doing it at a totally different time. I've never done it at 6 p.m. I usually always do it at 7 p.m. But I thought, you know what? Let's really change it up. Let's shock the system and have a candid conversation. So I asked chat, I said, you know what? And I've been working with chat for about a year and a half, I think, you know, off and on, but pretty consistently for the last year. And it knows me. And I said, you know, given that I'm the No Excuses coach, I'm the host of the Raw and Unscripted show, what 5 questions would you ask me that would push me into a zone of being uncomfortable answering on the air? That would help other people, if they answered those 5 questions, that they could quit lying to themselves. So this is going to be interesting. I have not rehearsed the questions. I briefly scanned them for a second and went, well, that's going to be interesting. So, I mean, literally, when I think about it, putting that all together, today's episode wasn't supposed to happen like this. And again, I had a guest lined up, but technology and everything else had other plans. But this is the episode that needed to happen. Because if you know, I have a tattoo on my arm that says, what doesn't kill me only makes me stronger. And on the other side, it says, you're only limited by the parameters of your own mind. So this is the episode that needed to happen because life is testing me. It wasn't planned. It's not convenient. And it's the kind of situation that challenges your patience, your mindset, your identity. And here's the truth. It's easy to talk about growth when things are going your way. But you don't know who you really are until life hits you square in the you know what. So today I'm doing something different. I'm going to ask myself these five questions and you're going to listen to them. So I highly encourage you to write them down and I want you to answer them with me. If you're watching live, I know people are watching live. They're watching on the replay. I would love for you to answer some of these in the comment section. You're watching on YouTube. I know a lot of people watch on YouTube. Answer the question. Like, fuck, what'd you think about that question? Or what question would you have for me in addition to the five that I'm asking myself tonight? Because these questions are going to expose where you're aligned and where you're still making excuses. So I'll say this. We don't grow from more information. We grow from the truth. And there's some of you out there who are still ignoring the fucking truth. And you think that you're somehow going to get away with what it is that you're doing or not doing. But there will come a time, ladies and gentlemen, in your life when your life will come to an end. And you will die. We're all going to do it. I think about it a lot. And I think about in that moment, whether it's tomorrow or 20 years from now, whatever it might be, in that moment, am I going to be happy about the person that I was in those moments? Am I going to be proud of the legacy that I'm leaving behind? Was I congruent? Was I an inspiration for my son? Did I change people's lives? Was I honest with myself? Did I have integrity with myself? Did I push myself? And that's what I decided to do. Instead of, I could have easily done a replay tonight and said, fuck it, I'm going to go downstairs and play video games and have a beer. But instead I said, you know what? I'm going to totally fucking change shit up. I almost shaved my facial hair off just for the fuck of it, just to really add some pressure to myself. Because how do you create a diamond? From pressure. And we all want the diamond, but we don't want the pressure. So this is going to require honesty. This is going to require ownership. Personal ownership on your end. And if I can do it, you can do it. And you certainly may need it more than I do. And we all need it. So this is going to be the willingness to look at ourselves without the filter. So here are the five questions. And let me just double check here. We got Nelly. And I decided normally I've been broadcasting only to YouTube, but I decided tonight because I was going live and I know some people like to really watch it live that I'm streaming it on Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube and all that stuff. So we got Nelly in the house. Thank you so much. We got Casey Connell. Hey man, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being live. And by the way, follow Casey. He's a fucking cool dude. He's a smart dude and he's very vulnerable. And he asks some really great questions and he shares a lot about his personal growth as a dad, as a boyfriend, fiance, as a business owner. And I really respect you, Casey. I really appreciate you. Casey was on the show not too long ago. I think it was sometime this year and we had a great, great conversation. Casey says, you're the best. Nah, man, I'm honestly just being me. That's all I know how to be. And I know that I need to be more me when I don't feel like being me, because at the end of the day, I've told my son this very honestly. He's 9 years old, but I told him, I said, if anything ever happens to me, God forbid, I pass away. And we talk about real life. It could happen. I said, and at that point I had 500, what am I on 500? This is podcast 360. So at that point, I think I had it was just recently. And I said, there's 357 hours alone of my podcast. Whenever you're in your life and you're ready to hear from me, and if God forbid I'm not here, there's 357 hours of me just there alone. I've done walk and talk videos. I've done short videos. I've done TikTok videos. I have over 1,000 videos on my YouTube channel. I told him, I said, please, if I'm ever not here, I am here for you. And one of the big reasons why I still continue to do this to this day is I will never stop. I shouldn't say never. I don't use that word. I will continue to talk as long as people will listen, and people listen in 98 countries. but it's my intention, my desire for him to see that growth and to experience that. And when he becomes an adult, maybe he'll start listening to it. Maybe he'll never listen to it, but at least I know in my heart that if I was struck down today, I know that I have left him hours and hours and hours of what I would say or what I do or my life and shared stories. Because I know people have lost their dads early in life and they're like, man, I just wish I had them. I have one video of my mom and it's her dancing at my first wedding. And it's probably like, 30 seconds. I have no other video of her. I have saved voice messages. So I still have her voice, but all I have to go by is pictures. And I wish that I had video. I wish I was able to go back and like, what did mom say right now? So let's get into this. And thank you, Casey, for that. And thank you everybody for watching live. And please again, comment and ask a question in there. So this one's about tolerations. Where am I still tolerating something that doesn't align with who I say I am? Ooh, gut punch. Let's say that 10 times fast. So yeah, where am I still tolerating something that doesn't align with who I say I am? I do talk about tolerations. I talk about excuses. And that is a great question. When I first read that, I was like, hi, geez, yeah. Let me give it a moment to really think about that, because I do this tolerations exercise with my coaching clients, and I do it again with myself because I make sure I'm still in alignment, but I haven't done it in probably about 8 months, something like that. It was somewhere around September last year. I don't know what that is. I've gotten really good. I tended to tolerate people who still came to me for help, but didn't employ me as their coach. I would still spend time with them. Another thing that I have stopped tolerating is people who don't reciprocate my friendship. And there's been some people in my life where I'm just like, you know what? And I would sit there and I would dwell on it. I'm like, you can't stop tolerating this, but I would, what's wrong with me? I've done that with people that I know in person. I'm like, I asked my wife, why can't I have a deeper relationship with these guys? And she goes, do you want to know the honest answer? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you intimidate them. And I first got, intimidate them? What? I'm fucking vulnerable. I'm who I am. I don't try to pretend anybody I'm not. But I said, can you tell me more about that? And I wasn't sure if she was telling me from direct knowledge, but her perspective. But she says, yeah, because you are so vulnerable and you're so open to talk about your feelings and your emotions and your mistakes and your failures that most guys don't feel comfortable with that. So they don't necessarily want to be around you because you make them feel uncomfortable and you realize you expose something that maybe they're missing in their life. And so that becomes a little bit draining. That becomes a little bit overwhelming. I know back in the day that I had somewhat of an intervention with my friends and they said, Chris, you're too positive. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with being too positive? Most people are too negative. But I found out my positivity and my thirst for knowledge and my thirst for personal growth and my go-get-em attitude really kind of made people feel like they couldn't have a bad day around me. And they said that they like, I don't feel like I could have a bad day around you, Chris. So where am I still tolerating something? You know, in my personal relationship, I tend to be a little bit more quiet and I don't say the things that I need that I feel because I don't want to upset her. I know that she's going through perimenopausal. She's got stresses going on in her life. So I'm like, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. And then I sit there and I think about, well, it's a big deal to me. So I should say something. And sometimes I say things. And because of my personal growth and the things that I've learned about communication and relationships, she doesn't have that. And so her response tends to be a little bit explosive. It tends to be a little bit, so I tend to run away from that. So if I'm being honest, which I am, something I'm still tolerating is I don't speak up for how I feel. And I tend to try to be the bigger person. I have a couple of friendships that I recently reached out to people and tried to rekindle them, people I've known for a long time. And there just wasn't that reciprocity. And I should have said, I feel, like you've abandoned me. What have I done to piss you off? I tend to make it about myself. So when we look at our life, what is it that you're tolerating within yourself? What are you tolerating from other people? And dig deeper into that and ask yourself why, right? Is it a self-worth issue? Is it a self-confidence issue? What might it be for you? And the thing I highly encourage you to do is do what's called a values exercise. And I do this with my coaching clients. I give them a list of 40 values. And I tell them out of these 40 values, and most of them you look at it like, yeah, I value that. I value that. I value that. But when I tell them, what do you value? What are your top five values? And people are like, oh, top five values. Wow, that's going to be tough. And I said, yeah, out of that, give me your top three. Because at any moment in time, you should ask yourself, what are my top three values? And am I practicing those values? Am I living in accordance with those values? And if you're not, Then you sit there and you can call yourself out and say, man, I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite. And you could also put the shoe on the other foot and think, okay, if Casey came to me and said, hey, man, you know, I'm having this thing with Nicole and and if he describes something that he's experiencing that I'm experiencing, would I have some advice for him? Would I ask him some questions? Of course. So I got to sit there and put that back on myself and sit there and say, okay, Chris, yeah. Or I could go to my friend or my mentor or my coach and sit there and say, you know what? Here's a situation I'm dealing with. Am I being petty about this or should I really speak up about it? And maybe what is this saying about myself at a deeper level? Because I can analyze myself all day long. And actually I have a therapy appointment for the first time in like 6 or 7 years because I feel like I need to go talk to somebody because we don't know how many layers deep we go until somebody else has that outside perspective. So I encourage you to have people in your life that ask you tough questions, but I encourage you to do those values and identify what your top three are and then ask yourself if you're in alignment with that. Because if you're not, you got to sit there and think, you know, what are you allowing in your life that's draining you? Because it's easier to go to our short-term gratification to ignore it. I used to go to drinking quite a bit back in the day, women, all sorts of things. And now it's like today, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to face it. And I'm going to bring it head on because that's who I am. That's who I don't pretend to be. That's who I fucking am at my core. So I gave myself a moment. I said, okay, let's go ahead and do this. And let's dig into the dirt because when I go to sleep tonight, and you guys should always have this goal. You should have this goal. You should wake up with gratitude and intentions for your day and sit there and think, what can I do today that I'll be proud of? What can I do today that my future self will thank me for? And then when I go to bed tonight, what am I proud of most today? And there have been some days where I go to bed and I'm like, well, I'm proud I went to the gym. I'm proud I cleaned the house. But most nights I go to bed like, man, I'm proud that I fucking made an impact in somebody's life. Man, I was proud. I was vulnerable in those moments. And that guy felt comfortable enough to talk to me. Man, I'm proud that today I held the door open for probably like eight different people at the gym. I'm proud that I was that person that was sitting there smiling and welcoming them to the gym and joking around. I'm like, hey, welcome to, I almost call it LA Fitness. Is it LA Fitness? Yeah. LA Fitness. No. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I just forgot the name of my gym. Yeah. LA Fitness. I don't know. Brain fart. So yeah, you know, it's about that. It's, we got Robert Broker in the house. Thank you, brother, for being here. He says, he's saying hi to everybody. Hello, Robert. Thank you for being here. Casey says here, is that why most men avoid me too? Most likely. Yeah. We remind people of what they're missing in their life or what they're not addressing in their life. Honestly, 98% of my coaching clients right now, 100% are all women. Everybody, if you look at my TikTok, this is a funny thing that I shared with you guys recently. My TikTok is literally all women. I get new friend requests. Probably one out of 50 maybe is a guy, but it's all women. Funny thing is, when I go to my YouTube statistics, which have been growing steadily, thank you. It's when you look at the men versus women ratio, it's more men than women. So it's super interesting. But yeah, I don't know why that is. I know part of it's the bad boy thing. I know that I'm just a really great listener. I'm very observant. I've had women in my life. Well, I was raised by a woman, all sorts of things. Casey says here, he goes 80% women on Facebook, 90% women on TikTok. See? You're a powerful dude. And so that might be a cause. Like if that matters, sit there and say, okay, what can I do to shift that? Or in my case, fucking push into that, man. I push back on men all the time. I'm like, you sit there and you do the same shit over and over again. And I don't entertain that anymore about tolerations. It's like, hey, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'll give you 5 books. You go get the books. You don't even have to fucking buy them. You can go sit in, I think you stole Barnes & Noble. You can go sit in a Barnes & Noble. You can go to the library. You could go on YouTube, read these 5 books and come back to me and talk about something. But again, I see people doing the same shit over and over again. And now I don't feel responsible. I feel sadness, especially if they're fathers. I'm like, really? Is that what you're teaching your kids? Right? I know dads that say shit and have daughters. And I'm like, is that what that's? And I see how they interact with their wives or other women. And I'm like, that's what your fucking daughter is going to grow up screwed up. And I'm honest with them. Like, don't fucking do that shit. So yeah. All right. Question number two. Otherwise I can do a whole show about that. Question number two. And again, I have not reviewed these. I just barely glanced at them. What version of me have I outgrown, but I still catch myself acting like? you know, I've been going through so much, especially in the last 7 years since I left corporate. A lot of my identity, I've been coaching and speaking and podcasting since 2013. Most definitely, I've been coaching since early 2000s, if not late 90s. So I've been on a very, very deep journey about who I am and my identity. You know, I love people that say, what do you do? I'm like, no. Like, what makes you happy? But what version of me have I outgrown? There's been so much growth, honestly. I think it goes back to what's wrong with me. I think, and again, in those personal relationships, my son's dads, who I associate with, and my wife is really good friends with the moms, and I try to develop that connection with the dads. They're great people. Last time I tried to talk about cars and not even talk about personal growth or, hey, you know, my podcast or my book or anything like that. But I think it's that I don't want to burden people, or it's not a big deal. So I do catch myself and I go back to, is that something that my 9-year-old self is still injured by, right? Or my 7-year-old self, whatever it is that I decide to use. So that's, you know, one of the things I want to go talk to a therapist about is that relationship. Like, okay, so say I say what I want or say how I'm hurting, and that causes that person to be defensive, you know. Okay, do I make that to mean about myself that I shouldn't speak up? Or maybe that's a situation that I need to not be in anymore. And that's the truth. Again, going back to what I said at the beginning of the show, the truth really hurts. And I've helped tons of people go through divorces and change careers. And yeah, it sucks. But ultimately, on the other side of it, they meet somebody else. I just found a friend who's getting remarried, went through a horrible divorce, went through the lows of lows, and I was there for him. Now he couldn't be happier. He's like, Chris, I wish I would have made that decision so long before. But again, we have to remind ourselves that sometimes, you know, that plan, everything that's happening for a reason, and what doesn't kill me makes you stronger. Sometimes we just haven't had the pain enough to change, that we're willing to settle. We're willing to compromise. We're willing to give ourselves excuses. And that's why I love these questions that I asked chat to ask me, and that you should be asking yourself. What version have I outgrown, but I still catch myself acting like? I'm very cognizant and aware. I've let go the need for the validation and the success. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I haven't done the book, is I'm like, I wrote it. And you know, as painful as it was, and I knew I needed to let it go, because I knew there was still a part of me that was wrapped up. Okay, how's it going to do? And how's the promotion going to be? And now I've made a commitment to the publisher to have it to him by the end of the month, which, yeah, I might need a little bit of an extension on that. But I know there was a part of me that said, okay, if I put this out there, I know that I'm going to take it personal, because that hurt little version of me still wants that, you know, oh my God, people, I listen to your story. But then I went back to, I'm like, why is the real reason that I wrote it? The real reason that I wrote it and decided to write it, because I've avoided it all these years, I didn't really feel like it was necessary, is that I can leave it behind for my son. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know in all my heart, it's sitting right here, the cover of it, in case you guys haven't heard about it, It's Just You and Me Kid. If you go to the website, It's Just You and Me Kid, there's a little bit of a thing there. It talks about it. It's about my story with my mom. And it's my story of going through so much shit and still being here. Like I was telling the electrician today, we got to these deep conversations because for some reason I just have that ability to have deep conversations with complete strangers. It's a gift and sometimes a curse. We spent 4.5 hours while he did probably a 20-minute job. And I talked about that, you know, the fact that, you know, most of the things that I experienced before 17 would have broke most people. I said, I should be dead or in jail, but I shouldn't, because they all happened for me. And whatever's happening in your life is happening for you. It's not happening to you. And you could choose to be the victim. You could choose to run from it. Or you could choose to fucking put your balls on the table and say, I need to quit drinking. I need to quit avoiding. I need to quit letting people walk all over me. I need to quit doing stuff that I don't like it doing. Because at the ultimate end of the day, when you start doing the stuff that you really love to do, and you're around the people that really love and care about you and want you for who you are, you attract so much more in your life. And you come to find the sense of confidence and the sense of peace. That's something that I've been in search for most of my life. I read so many books on finding inner peace and meditation, the Zen of Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, Inner Peace. I mean, Man's Search for Meaning. So many books. Why Me, Why This, Why Now is a phenomenal book. I've been in search of peace when I didn't have to go searching for it. I had to come to grips with the word surrender. I had to surrender what I thought I should be. And even though my mom's been dead for, 13 years now, can't do the math, 2012, so 14 years, there still have been times where I've been trying to prove to her or prove to somebody that I'm worthy or that my story matters. But at the end of the day, am I being a great dad? Because, I mean, all of this is great and all the adulation and the messages I get and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, my legacy is in my son. And am I proud of being that person? And I've had to come to grips with sometimes I'm like, you know what? I need to be more focused on this. I need to be more focused in the moment. And like we were talking today, we're actually talking about today. I said, he's 9 years old. And sometimes I'm pretty strict with him and I, you know, want him to develop good habits. And, you know, I know that we become the people we become between 0 and 7 or now 0 and 9 pretty much. And I'm worried about failing him or not being tough enough. I've come to the realization recently, like he's only going to be a kid for another minute. He's going to start growing up and he's going to start having rejection and bullying and heartbreak. And Casey is an excellent example of a dad who's gone through these experiences and vulnerable and working through them. You know, I had to sit there and like really accept that none of that is really important. It's the peace in my heart. Am I being a good dad? Am I excited? Am I playful? Am I in the moment? Am I present? So you got to sit there and think about what story are you replaying in your head that no longer fits who you're becoming? Who are you becoming? Oh, got Nicole Young in the house. What's up? Thank you, Nicole, for being here. People are saying yes, yes, yes. Kiesel says you wrote a book but didn't publish it. Oh shit, dude, that book right there. That book right there. Here, I'll even share this with you guys. I shared this with somebody recently. This is no word of a lie. 69 Tips for Living Your Kick-Ass Life. I wrote that in probably 2017. All sorts of stuff. Got the barcode on the back of it. I wrote another book way back in the day called The Blue Collar Guide to Life, 10 Ways to Achieve Kick-Ass Success. That is actually a personal development book. It was a shitty title, but it was a working title and I created the cover for it. But this one, it's a complete book, titles and everything else, picture on the back, all that good stuff. Yeah, I've got another book called Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. That's probably got 12,000 words. No, not 12,000. It's probably got, it's probably got 70,000 words. But when I sit there and I think about it, that's not the right time. And now's the right time to release this. And I know that timing is important in my life. Yep, I know you did. I just published my first last August. And I believe you're writing another one with Nicole Tiffany. I think about her as Tiffany, but I think it's Nicole Tiffany Cruz. But I think about her as Tiffany for some reason. It's all about the timing. So Jesus Christ, I got to shut up. So number three. What are your standards on hard days? So this is the question. What do my standards look like when I don't feel like showing up? Yeah. My excuse lately is I haven't felt like it. You know, my iron's been low. My carbon dioxide's been high. All sorts of different wonky things. I signed up for functionhealth.com. I highly encourage you to do it. It's 150 different blood tests. And you can do an additional 5 cancer screenings from the GAIL test. I think it is GRAIL or GAIL or something like that. But I went and I looked at it. And I'm like, okay. I'm pretty stubborn about my blood tests every single year, but I said, okay, let me make the extra investment and found out there was 17 of my biomarkers that were out of whack. And so, you know, as much as I try not to use it as an excuse, I've had horrible brain fog. I've had horrible lethargy, however you say it. But I'm still getting up, go to the fucking gym every day. I still crush it. I push through. And I've decided recently, like, you know what? I don't need to show up all the time. I don't need to push and prove myself. I've said since I left the corporate world, since I was invited to leave, which is the true story, that I can surrender, that I can relax and I can enjoy. So there have been days where I haven't wanted to show up. I think I've done on this show, I've probably done maybe 10 replays in 7 years. I think maybe that, and probably 7 of those have been because I was on vacation and I didn't have Wi-Fi connection, or I said I was going to be there present with my family. Cause there's been a few times where I've done the show while I've been on vacation, and, that doesn't go well with the family. But there have been a couple of times where I did not want to show up, and truth be told, last year and parts of this year, there have been times where I thought, I'm just going to stop doing the podcast. I don't feel like showing up anymore. I feel like I've said everything I could say in 359 episodes. I feel like I've said everything I can say. I'm tired of hearing my own voice, but it's about that continual growth. It's about showing up when you don't feel like it's about getting up and putting your feet on the floor and saying, I'm going to the gym today, whether or not I have all these issues going on, because I know when I get home, I'm going to be happy that I did it. I know I'm going to feel just a little bit better. And if I feel drained afterwards, I'm going to allow myself that opportunity to not do the 17 other things that I put on my to-do list, because I have fucking a to-do list. I always have a to-do list every single day. I go and look at it and I've got all sorts of stuff. I'm like constantly going, whether it's business related, personal related, around the house related, it's enjoyment related, go. My son asked me, he goes, were you going again today? He already knows me. So when I don't feel like showing up, what do my standards look like? Hypocrisy and congruency are the two words that I go to all the time, and values. Am I being aligned? And I put it to myself this way. If a camera crew were following me around right now, is this the best that I would do? And the honest truth, there have been times where I've been washing my car and I've done the wheels and I'm like, if a camera crew is watching me right now, what would I do differently? And I would do that extra care. So I sit there and I think, okay, am I setting the example, even though nobody's watching, am I setting the example that for myself that I will be proud of? So there have been so many times, there have been times this year and last year where I've not gotten out of bed until 11 o'clock. And most nobody knows that. My wife knows that. And she goes, oh, what are you doing sleeping in? I'm like, I fucking just my mental space, my physical space. I just don't feel like opening my eyes right now. And I did that for off and on a month or two. And I was like, man, if people saw me right now, what would they say? And I thought they would say, wow, Chris is real. Like, cause so many people sit there and say, man, I wish I had your energy. And you can hear me. You can see me. Like, this is how I am. Even when I'm exhausted, I've had a rough fucking day. But again, I've just said, we're going to fucking do it. We're going to bring it, because that vulnerability. And again, that going back to what's really important in my life is that when I go to sleep tonight, I solved issues today for myself and for other people. I accepted responsibility that things are what they are and they're real world problems. Man, I had to fix my pool. I had to fix a GFI receptacle on my island barbecue out in my backyard. There's been other things that I have to deal with, a fucking huge tax bill that I'm not prepared to pay for. But I sat there and I thought, you know what? It is what it is. So when I don't feel like showing up, I sit there and I'm like, is the future version of me going to appreciate what I'm doing and saying right now? Or is there something else I could do differently and take responsibility and take ownership for that? And so oftentimes we say we don't feel like it, or we give ourselves other excuses. And that's my favorite one, is I don't feel like it. But when you call bullshit on yourself and you sit there and say, you know, am I doing my best? Or am I doing my best to give myself grace? Which is something that has been uncomfortable for me, sitting down and playing video games for 2 hours or playing guitar in the middle of the day. Again, from going to therapy, I found out that I felt guilt and shame. I felt embarrassment. Like, no, I can't do that. I have to prove that I've earned it. Because again, going back to the childhood experiences, I had to prove that I was worthy of not getting my ass kicked by everybody in school. I had to prove that I was good and smart for my mom so that she wouldn't call me a stupid fuck. I had to prove to the girls, I had to prove to my friends that I was cool enough, that I had the cool hair, that I had the cool car, right? So when you think about it, when your standards drop, your mood drops. And then you start feeling, it starts being these little tiny pieces that you start allowing to be taken away from you. And so ultimately, you got to sit there and say, you know, what legacy am I leaving today? And if today was my last day, would I be proud of the person that I was today and am today? So I'm excited for the fact that I get to do this with you guys. I'm excited for the people that get to hear this, that may be feeling the same way. They may have a massive ego. They may feel like, oh, I don't need any help, and hear my voice and sit there and say, you know what, Chris, because of what you shared and because you showed up, that caused me to get up. And it caused me to take a little bit more care and responsibility for myself, because so oftentimes we'll take care of everybody else and we'll go to the ends of the earth for everybody else, but we won't do it for us. And so you got to go look in the mirror. And I highly encourage you to go look in the mirror. I look in the mirror often and I look and I'm like, fuck, I'm getting older. fuck, I'm bald now. You know, I shaved my head, but yeah, I lost hair. Fuck. But I'm like, Chris, you know, and here's something that I encourage you to do as well. I did this years and years and years ago. I was showing pictures of people when I was young, when I was a little kid, and they're like, oh, you were so cute. You didn't have facial hair. Your hair was straight. Blah, 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 blah. And after everybody left, I had a cigarette and a fucking drink. This is back when I smoked. This was in the 2000s. And I looked at that picture of myself and I'm like, you motherfucker, you're going to go through so much shit. You're going to go through so much hell in your life, but man, on the other side of it, you're going to gain so much confidence. You're going to have so much impact in the world that you never thought was possible. As that abused little kid that had no self-confidence, I didn't speak up fucking anywhere. I got embarrassed in class. I found out that I had a vision problem and a hearing problem. I had ADHD and I thought I was a shitty person. I thought I was a terrible student. But my mom went and get my eyes checked. And then I did a hearing test at school and found out I had scar tissue in this ear. I had to go in the hospital and have tubes put in my ears because my earwax was draining inward. So I couldn't hear, you know, I didn't want to be seen. So for me to stand on stages in front of thousands of people or do a podcast or have any types of conversations with people, it's pretty incredible. And I give myself a lot of credit for the tenacity that I've had and the person that I've represented to people. Let me go back here because I'm trying to keep on my questions here. Robert says, what lights you up inside? Hearing my kids say, Dad, I love you. Dad, I love you more than you know. Helping him learn stuff, picking him up from school and asking him, how was your day? What was the best part of your day? And every single time, I tell him not even to say this. He says, seeing you, seeing mom. I'm like, what do you love to do? And he goes, I love to go camping. I love to go for hikes. I love it when we play video games. What lights me up inside? Being a dad, which is, you know, for anybody who doesn't know this, I never wanted to be a dad. I was single with toys, SWT. My friend Rob White will confirm this. SWT. I was with my girlfriend, who is now my wife, now for 19 years this October. We've been together for 24 years, if you can believe that. It's pretty crazy. She came to me 5 years. She goes, you're going to put a ring on this finger? And I'm like, no, everything's fine. We lived together. Everything's fine. We split the bills. Everything was, I was good. I was already married once. And then we were together and then we broke up for 3 months, 6 months. I can't remember what it was because she said, do you want to have kids? And I said, fuck no. Why would I want to do that? I dated a girl that had two kids and I tried being a dad and I tried all that stuff. I'm like, it's a responsibility. It's money. I had a horrible experience with my mom. I never knew my biological dad. I didn't really have too many fatherly influences in my life. I was like, do I want to be a dad? No. And then ultimately we tried to have a kid and we couldn't have a kid. And then we adopted my son from birth. And I tell him this with all truth and all heart. I'm like, I have no idea where my life would be right now at 57 years old without you in it. So what lights me up? Being a dad. What lights me up? People reaching out to me and saying, Chris, because of what you said or because of what you do, you've inspired me. You've inspired me to stop tolerating people in my life. What lights me up? Seeing who I'm becoming next. Like, I have this thought in my mind, if I'm this way at 57 and I'm continuing to learn and grow, I'm pretty excited about who I'm going to be at 70. I'm pretty fucking excited. Like, am I going to be a philosopher? Am I going to be a stand-up comedian? Am I going to be a singer-songwriter? I don't know. The world is open for me. So thank you for Robert for that question. I appreciate you. Robert says, next year, silver anniversary. Yeah. You know, it's pretty crazy. Darlene says, you're awesome, Christopher. I'm glad you're a friend. Keep shining that light of yours. Thank you, Darlene. You are awesome. I appreciate you being here. You guys are a special part of my life. What lights me up in my life? Doing this podcast and seeing you guys show up and seeing you guys share it out and having that passion for the Raw and Scripted brand, because that's exactly who I am. That's exactly what you're going to get all the time. So if you're digging this, share it out and just say, hey, you know, from this guy, I've learned this. Or what you're hearing from here. But again, please ask yourself these questions. Go back, and I've done so many shows where I've answered your questions and it's in the title. You can check it out. You could probably search it, I'm guessing. Or if you want, I can give you those to you. You can message me and say, hey, Chris, what are those shows? Questions have so much power, so much power. What am I supposed to be learning right now? What am I supposed to be learning from this? What is something that my future self will thank me for that I could do today? Right? I went to the gym today. I went and sat in the sauna. I don't like this. I hate sweating. That's where the bandana thing came from. People say, why do you wear a bandana all the time? is because I really literally hate sweating. And I would put a headband on, and I've done that when I had hair, when I didn't have hair, when I was a biker, when I wasn't a biker. And I still do it to this day because I wake up and I live in Riverside and it was 102 degrees today. And I've changed my bandana twice. You should see, I have a drawer, probably, I should count it sometime. I have a drawer of probably 100 bandanas. Most of the time I just wear blue because it kind of blends in now. I used to wear red. I used to wear gray. I still wear those. But this is kind of the brand. I wear the black shirt. I'm normally wearing a tank top. I don't wear shirts with sleeves on it, but I do this for the brand of the show to keep it consistent. So question number 5, what truth do I know would help change people's lives, but I don't say consistently enough? See, that's one of the things that I almost thought about stopping the show, is I feel like I say so much all the time. Like I'm constantly repeating myself. But again, I let chat ask me this question. So what truth do I know would change people's lives, but I don't say consistently enough? Because I do feel like I sound like a broken record. You're going to die. I think that's, you know, I don't like to think about that myself, but I do think about it quite often. So you're going to die, and it's going to come faster than you can imagine. Like right now at 57, I'm seeing actors and actresses and musicians that have always been like, I just literally watched Sammy Hagar, who I have two albums in the other room, vinyl records. I don't listen to vinyl records anymore. I don't think they sound very good, honestly. People love the sound of vinyl, but I'm still a fucking CD guy. I have probably 300 CDs over there that I'm glad I never got rid of, because CDs are making a comeback. They're really cool. The young generation, I think it's really neat to be able to buy something and have liner notes and pictures and all sorts of shit. I almost got rid of them because I'm like, I don't need them anymore. But I still play CDs in my other room. I have an old fashioned looking record player that plays CDs and plays cassette tapes. But yeah. I was going back to Sammy Hagar. I watched him and he's doing a Las Vegas residency. And I was like, man, he's kind of getting the neck, you know, where you kind of get older and you get the hunch in your back. And I've told myself I'm not going to do that. I mean, my back's fucking horrible anyway. My mom literally was like this when she was, as she got older, like she just couldn't help it. She couldn't straighten her back up anymore. I see a guy at the gym. He's literally bent over. I'm like, fuck, that guy's so inspirational. Like he's showing up to the gym, literally walking like that, like all hunched over. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Seeing him getting older. And I asked Alexa, I said, how old is Sammy Hagar? And he's 78. I followed him my entire life. I saw him on the 5150 tour with Van Halen. Like Jesus Christ. Like that happened like that. And I'm 57. Can I look back 20 years and look at 37? Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you, I got married at 37, obviously, because it's 36, 37. The next 20 years, I'll be 77. Like, think about just yourself, like how fast the last 10 years have gone. The next 10 years are going to go faster. And so the thing is, and I do this exercise with my coaching clients, is we chart out your life. And we're like, okay, how much life is gone that we can't take back? And how much life do I have left? I mean, obviously with technology and stuff, we could live to be, studies show that pretty much in 3 to 5 years, we're going to be able to have technology where we can live to be 120. I personally, with the way the world is right now, aside from my son, I don't want to see that happen. I'm pretty sad and upset at the way the world is right now. But again, I have to sit there and trust that, you know, throughout time, there have been periods where the Industrial Revolution happened. And right now we're going through an AI revolution. And they're saying that in a couple to 2 to 5 years that, you know, millions and millions and millions of jobs will be eliminated. Again, I was just listening to it today. Lawyers. People aren't using lawyers anymore. They're using Grok, and they're having Grok analyze contracts. They're having Grok do mediation. They're having Grok plan what it is that they can say. I've used that to talk to my doctor. I've had that to talk to my pharmacist. What should I say about this? I did some contractual stuff, and I asked it, you know, what are the most important things for me? Split the answer back in seconds, and guess what? It fucking worked. So what truth would I... Do I know that change? You're gonna fucking die, and it could happen tomorrow. It could happen in 10 minutes. I've had friends of mine that looked healthy and acted healthy and thought they were healthy, need a quintuple bypass surgeries. Like they literally had a widowmaker heart attack, and if they had not gone to the hospital and gotten there within the time they did, they would be gone. Their family would miss them. So you got to think about that. Every single day is a gift. Again, I have had so many things happen in the last couple of weeks, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are going to be more things that are experienced. I told my wife this the other day, and here's some truth. Me and my friend had a joke about this a while back. I said, either I'm going to go to your funeral or you're going to mine. And he fucking hated me for saying that. He's like, don't talk like that. Don't say that. Don't say that. And he wasn't even joking. He's like, don't say that. I can't handle that. And I said, that's the truth. That's the truth. You're going to go to somebody's funeral or they're going to come to yours. And when they come to your funeral, what are they going to say? How were you? What did you live life or did you exist? Did you have excuses or did you have results? Again, like I talked about at the top of the show, if you missed it, I do a group coaching program for $49 a month. It's $49 a month. I promise you it is worth mountains above that. I get paid thousands of dollars to do what I do. And I'm really great at it. But I do that because it's for the people who really have skin in the game, who really want to change. And I admire people for saying, oh my God, you know, I might have to cut my Amazon spending. I might need to not have Hulu and Netflix and Amazon and Peacock and whatever else fucking services are out there. Right? All I need is YouTube. That's my jam. I need my YouTube and my Spotify. I could actually get rid of Pandora as well. Or I could sit there and get rid of it all and just listen to my CDs and I'd probably be pretty happy because that's what I lived on my entire life. So it's about what you're doing now. It's about who you're being today. And that was the whole point of this show. Again, I was like, oh my God, you know, a Serena thing and then the computer thing. And I'm like, fuck this. And couldn't get my microphone and my everything connected and blah, 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 blah. I just want to go downstairs and play video games. And that's my escape. That's my gift to myself. So I said, fuck that. We're going to show up. We're going to be an hour early. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks because I'm going to go downstairs and we're going to have pastrami sandwiches because it is St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if that's a cool thing or not. We got Angel in the house? No way. What's up, sister? It's been a minute. No day by day. Moment to moment. Moment to moment, baby. That's what you get. I literally want to get one of my next tattoo is want moments. Moments. Because when you're living and you're present in the moments, whether they're good or bad or whatever label you want to put on it, you get to live. You get to breathe. You get to breathe. I don't have to do something. I get to do something. I get to experience these challenges. I get to rise above them. I get to look back in a month and go, Jesus Christ, that was a little rough patch. But man, am I stronger for it? Have I addressed the issues or have I ran away from them? And that's something I continue to work on too. That's why I've admitted openly that I'm going back to therapy. It's not a sign of weakness, ladies and gentlemen, it's a sign of strength. And if you're trying to do it all by yourself, and if you don't have a team of people, like somebody who you trust, somebody who empowers you, somebody who holds you accountable, somebody who is a mentor, and they can't be the same person. But so oftentimes we're the island, we're the person that's going to be there for everybody else. But at the end of the day, we go to bed exhausted and feeling like, oh, I hope someday. I was just talking with a prospective client the other day, and I said, are you playing the someday game? I'm like, what's that? I said, someday when I have the relationship, then I'll be happy. Someday when I have the hairpiece, then I'll be happy. Someday when I have the money, then I'll be happy. Someday when I have the house, then I'll be happy. Someday when I have the car, I'll be happy. Right? I've seen people go through COVID who woke up on ventilators and like, Chris, I couldn't breathe on my own for 2 weeks. I just took a big whiff and I could smell some amazing food downstairs. I get to smell food. I get to taste food. Like, here's the thing that I've been doing for myself, and I'll share this with you. Like, when you're eating something, don't just eat it to eat it. Eat it to really taste it. I was eating a chocolate chip cookie. This is what started. And I'm like, oh, I was just plowing through the chocolate chip cookie. And somebody said, oh, these are the best cut chocolate cookies. I'm like, yeah, they're all right. But I'm like, what would it be like if I never had a chocolate chip cookie before? How would I treat this moment? And I stopped and I thought, I love the crunchiness. I love the way my teeth go through the chocolate chip, and I love the chocolate chip is kind of soft. I love that the cookie doesn't crumble, that it's soft and moist. I love that the cookie was created by my wife. I love the fact that the cookie was created by Pillsbury Doughboy, and it's something off the shelf, and I still love it. Like, when you just get present and you're like, Jesus Christ, it's a gift. My cat's over there sleeping. I got a ceiling fan. I got dry erase boards. I got a TV. I've got a microphone. I've got beautiful people that are showing up here that dig what I do. Right? There's challenges in our life, but those challenges, when you look back on your life, those are the experiences that helped you become the person that you are today. Because when things are going good, and I had said this to myself recently, I know that I'm going to experience more challenges and whatnot. I know there's going to be a point in my life where health things are going to happen. They're either going to happen or I'm going to drop dead. That's one of the two things. There is no way around it. I'm either going to get cancer. Maybe I live to 98, but also I see people that live to be in their hundreds and they're like, yeah, it sucks to be here because all my friends have died. So are you having those meaningful conversations? Are you being honest with yourself? Are you waking up in the morning and say, who do I get to be today? Because you don't have to do anything. You get to experience life. You get to experience your life, no matter what situations might be challenging right now. It's an opportunity for you again to go to sleep tonight. Man, was I a good person today? Did I grow 1%? Did I push myself outside of my comfort zone? So oftentimes we want certainty and comfort. And again, that's one of the things that I've had challenges with my life is relaxing and stuff like that, but not so much anymore. You know, it's something I'm continuing to focus on and give intention to. But it's progressively easier than it's ever been before, to the point where I don't feel selfish. I don't feel lazy. I feel, blessed. I feel proud. I feel proud that I don't have to be that person anymore that's worried about what other people think or don't think. It is what it is. They're going to think whatever it is that they're going to think. They're going to do whatever it is that they're going to do. And the sooner I release my attachment to it, right? What is your attachment to things? It's pretty crazy. Angel says here, oatmeal cookies with raisins. Oh, I'm glad you like them. Raisins. Oatmeal's all right, I guess. I don't know. Raisins. But hey, man, that rocks your world. So I encourage you to have an oatmeal raisin cookie. Pretty good. Darlene says here, don't blink. No blink. Ray Sekringhost. I can never pronounce your name right. Ray, thank you, Rockstar. Ray and I have some interesting conversations. Robert says here, hi, Ray. So again, I truly believe and hope and my intention for you guys is to walk away from this podcast as always. What is it that I'm going to apply in my life? What question did he ask tonight that really was the toughest for me to consider in my own experience? And just have some simple joys in life, right? Again, I was telling somebody the other day, like I have my sim racing that I do on my video games. I have my guitar. I have my 69 Charger. I have music. I have my son. I have my wife. I have my animals. I love walking my dogs. I love going to the gym. I love going in the sauna now. Like I was saying before, I don't like sweating, but I go in the sauna. I did it again today. I walked in there. It was fucking hot as hell, and I wanted to turn around and walk out. But I know at the end of that 12 minutes, all of that sweat that's going to pour out of me is going to feel like a release. And I'm going to look down at that wooden bench and I'm going to be proud of the fact that I went in there and my muscles are a little bit warmer and I'm taking care of my body, right? You know, are we taking care of ourselves? Are we taking care of ourselves? So again, Serena is going to be back on the show here pretty quickly. I just got to reschedule that with her. She's an amazing person. So go check out Help Heal Humanity, helphealhumanity.com. It's a phenomenal organization. I'm still on the board of directors. We just did some stuff for the Americas and she's out there doing amazing stuff. So, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? As always, reach out to me privately, publicly, wherever it might be. If you're listening to this, info@noexcusescoach.com, you can do that. You can send me, any messages on any social media as you want. I will continue to show up here every single week and bring you the goods and bring you the vulnerability and bring you the growth. Because even though I've said things probably 1,000 times and I'm tired of hearing myself talk, I know that it's impacting you guys. And that's my service. That's my joy to the world. And that's the legacy I get to leave to my son. So I love you guys. I'm going to go have some hot pastrami sandwiches and maybe do some sim racing. So be good to yourself, be good to others. And please, please stop watching the news and following politics and being mean to each other. I've had to cut off some people in my life who I've tried. And again, when I, some of these questions I thought about, I was like, yeah, you know what? I try to be the bridge in the middle, but there are just some people that they are so stuck on one side of the conversation that they generalize all people. And I'll just say it. The person said it. They said all Democrats are horrible people, and said something about Muslims. I'm like, you espouse yourself to be a fucking good Christian, you hypocrite. And I'm like, you know what? Unfriend. And I felt bad for it for a second because I'm like, that person needs what it is that I'm saying. And perhaps there's something I'm going to say that may change them, but no. Adios, motherfucker. See you later. So that's what you got to do. I love you guys. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, guys. Continue to be brilliant. Angel says here, keep going, Christopher. Good night, everyone. I love you guys. Peace.